And so we had a chance to catch up with Olivia Hall a few minutes ago. She was talking about Call to More Women's Conference this Friday and Saturday. Cool thing is that she's back on with us again this morning for our morning munch. Libby, good morning to you.
Good morning. Happy day.
I wonder if your morning munch with us is going to be anything that you will be covering during your conference this Friday or Saturday.
Well, yes, it is. Look at that. Look how it ties in. We're going to be talking about encountering Jesus. And so this week, I'm talking about some of the women in the Gospels who encountered Jesus. Yesterday, we talked about Peter's mother-in-law and how Jesus healed her. And today, I want to talk about a woman whose story is found in John 8. In this story, Jesus was teaching in the synagogue, and a lot of the religious leaders didn't really like Jesus. He was speaking some hard truth, and it was difficult for them to hear. So they decided they were going to try and trap him, and they were hoping to get him to, you know, maybe contradict himself, maybe say something that would be against the law that they taught. So they brought a woman in to the synagogue in front of everyone who had been caught in the act of adultery. Now, you know, first of all, there's a lot of questions that surround this story, like, how did they catch her in the act of adultery, okay? And then, where was the guy? Why was he not in trouble, right? There's just a whole lot of questions. But in verses 4 and 5, they come in and they say to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" So again, they're trying to trap him because they know that he's compassionate, and yet the law says they're supposed to kill her. So what does Jesus do? Well, he doesn't actually say a word. The Bible says that he stooped down and started to write something in the dirt or the sand on the ground, and all of the people stood around watching him. Now, you know, in my mind, I see them all standing there with big stones in their hand getting ready to kill this woman. And I'm sure that the silence was making them a little uneasy, so they started to question him again. They continued the questioning, and he stood up, and he looked at them, and he said in verse 7, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." And nobody threw a stone. In fact, one by one, they started to walk away. And the Bible says that the older people walked away first. I love that it points that out, because I think that the reason for that is probably that we've learned a few things about ourselves over the years as time goes on. But when all the people were gone, Jesus said to her, "Has no one condemned you?" And she responded to him, "No one." And he looked her in the eye and he said, "Then neither do I. Go and leave your life of sin." See, the religious leaders who brought this woman in did it to trap him, right? To trap Jesus. But what they meant for evil, God meant for good. And they intended it to be a display of her sin for her shame. But it became a display of his mercy for his glory. And that one encounter set her free from the sin that had been a label on her life. And she was able to go and never do that thing again. And there are a few things that stand out to me about this story. The first is that he loves us in our darkest moments. Our sin is never too dark for him to show up. I've seen this in my own life. I remember very clearly a time where I sat in the living room at a drug dealer's house, next to his girlfriend, sitting in front of the TV, as high as we could be. And all of a sudden, she starts sharing the gospel of Jesus with me. I mean, it was a place I would have never expected it to happen from, a person I would have never expected it to come from. But in that place, in a dark, dark place that I was in, Jesus showed up. He found an opening and he stepped in. And I learned that day that he shows up everywhere. He's not afraid of our sin. He's not afraid of our dark reality. And the woman in this scripture learned another thing that I learned as well, and that is that one encounter with Jesus changes everything. Like, everything changes. He doesn't schedule an encounter with us to leave us in our sin. He schedules an encounter with us because he wants to set us free from our sin. And we do choose whether or not we let that sin go. He doesn't force it, but he makes a way. And I'm so grateful that I chose to let him change me. And the truth of the matter is that every one of us can do the same thing right now. This can be that encounter with him right now. I want to pray with you guys this morning. Father God, thank you for your son, Jesus, who came to earth so that we could be set free. Lord, would you help us to walk in that freedom today? In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. On with Libby Hall from Call to More Ministries, and she has a conference coming up this weekend. Libby, you know what's cool about you is that you are such a good commentator, where you tell a story and then you extract whatever knowledge needs to come out of that. You are so fluid with that. Are you always this way? Is this kind of one of those things we have to look forward to this weekend?
Wow. I mean, that's huge. You know, thank you. Am I always this way? I don't know. I'm sure that, like, my husband and my kids would be like, no, she's not always this way.
It's always a family.
They live with me every day. They see me daily. I do love to tell stories, though. I do. You know, I kind of see things. Like, when I read the Bible, I see it like a movie in my head. And so when I go to talk about it, that's kind of what I try to portray, is what I'm seeing in my mind.
Well, this weekend sounds like it's going to be a really great weekend, because if what you gave today was a sneak preview of this coming weekend, it's going to be really powerful. There's going to be a lot in that. So let's talk more about the conference. It's in Romulus this weekend. Is that right?
That is correct. Romulus, Michigan, at the Embassy Suites Hotel. And it's right by the airport. So, you know, those who are local can drive there. Those who are not can fly.
And then you have guest speakers this weekend.
Yes, Sarah Quint will be speaking on Saturday morning, and Emily Copeland is speaking Saturday afternoon. Ezra Miller is leading us in worship, and we are just going to have a lot of laughs and a lot of fun, and my heart's cry is that we would encounter the presence of God there throughout the weekend.
We know what you do. Is that the beating heart of Call to More?
It is. It really is. My life has been, oh my gosh, I'm getting emotional. Sorry. You get on the radio and you're not allowed to cry. It's a rule. My life has been totally altered, and it's only because of the presence of God. It's only because I've encountered him, and it wasn't a one-time thing, right? So, like, once I encountered Jesus, I have chased him my whole life. It's been 32, 33 years now, and I will continue to chase him because nothing compares, and he's changed everything for me. And I do honestly want other people to know that and to get to experience that as well.
Wow. To pre-register and to get plugged in, where do we go?
You're going to go to libbyhall.com/conference. So that's libbiehall.com/conference.
And then, you know what, I have to ask this last question because people tend to wait until the last minute. When's the cutoff to register? We have procrastinators everywhere.
Right. Well, we're actually not cutting off. I mean, you know, we've prepared for a certain number of people. We'll cut off when the last ticket is sold, because obviously we can't go over what the room can hold. So right now, ticket sales are still open. If they close before Friday morning, I'll let y'all know.